at the Sogan Valley Art Fair, downtown Cannon Falls, the first weekend of October.
The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop, and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-334-7372.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
95.1.
The One.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for joining us to celebrate creating and stories. I'm so appreciative that you're here today. There is absolutely something about this time of year, the winding down of the heat and hustle of long summer days, rolling into pleasant coolness and color blast of fall. This is the time to take a drive, to take in the sensory sensations of autumnal transitions. I just love this time. And one place you need to go is the Sogan Valley. You might think you need to wander north to find the glorious beauty of the season, but no, just head south and east of Northfield. It is absolutely a gem of a place. I can't tell you what the leaves or the sky or the wind or the farms and the small towns will present to you, but I imagine it will be worth the meandering time. I think of the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and I think of my wonderful little kids delighting in the outdoor space at the Macarios Farm, where it was a past site of the festival. And this is where we've connected with some of our favorite artists in this beautiful fall outdoor setting. It's where we picked our giant pumpkins from the wagon that was there, brought home the sweetest of honey, took a few deep breaths of fresh summer fall air, and life felt so glorious for a bit. The kids loved running up and down that hill, and if you've ever been to the Sogan Valley Fair, you remember that hill. Even if it was muddy, we always had great treats to taste and yummy beverages, and I absolutely loved mingling with the farmers and the artists and the community members amongst these trees and skies and bees and corn. You have not lived a full life until you have spent time in Minnesota in an outdoor fall art festival, so please do this. You will have something to savor for the upcoming days because you know what's right around the corner. So I'm so excited today. We are talking about the Sogan Valley Art Fair. And joining me in the studio, we have Dave Mahacek. Welcome to Art Zany Radio, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Paula.
Carrie Ahlberg is here. She says she's just going to be along for the... Well, you'll answer some questions,
absolutely,
won't you? Okay.
Absolutely.
It's such a delight to have you back. Last year, the Sogan Valley Art Fair was not able to go, like many of many things. So this is a big deal that things are moving ahead. Mm-hmm. And this is the 49th year of the Sogan Valley Art Festival, Art Fair, which is amazing. It is going to be held in this weekend, Saturday the 2nd from 10 to 5, and Sunday the 3rd from 10 to 4, so people should put that on their calendars. It's really easy to find at art.org, which is located downtown Cannon Falls. The SoganValleyArtFair.com is the website, so you can get some information there about, there's maps, there's a great map. I really love the map that you did that shows not only where you're located, but awesome, some of the extra special things you can find. I think you're calling it Sogan Plus.
Exactly.
Which,
yep,
there's lots to do in Cannon Falls.
There
so
is, yep.
That's an exciting thing to have us for this time. And one of the things that you're doing this year is celebrating the founder of Sogan Valley. And tell me about Peter Leach. What do you know about him? And how have you found, in learning about his stories and how this started?
Well, I didn't really ever meet Peter, I don't think. I don't remember meeting him anyway, but he passed away this last year, and we thought it was a good opportunity to dedicate the fair to him. And I guess we had the poster, in fact, for this year's fair is in his likeness. It's an artwork produced by Marty Harris, and it has a nice image of Peter in a engineer's hat, I think it is, or a trainman's hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has four little vignettes all the way around the poster, which kind of captures a few of his interests. Of course, pottery potting is a huge interest. He was a great teacher, as we'll find out a little bit later. But he hunted mushrooms, too, in the Sogan Valley, lived in Sogan Valley. I think his P.O. box was in Denison, actually, so right in the middle of that whole area. But another interesting thing he did, you know, he participated with the local community, and he had a column in the Cannon Falls Beacon for a couple of years. And it was called Perspectives, and I guess sometimes it was called Ask Dr. Perspective.
Oh.
And it was really refreshing, the, you know, cursory view of, you know, I kind of read all these, his columns from that era, and it was very interesting because he talked about just kind of like hometown stuff. He didn't really, you know, promote his art or anything like that. I mean, it was more just observations, and it was pretty refreshing. We ran a couple of those old columns, in fact, in the Beacon in the weeks leading up to the fair here too. So,
and he was mostly known for his pottery. How would you describe what his pottery was like? He was very well known.
Yeah, he sure was. You know, I'm not a good person to ask that. Maybe, you know, we do have a few, cross our fingers, we have some callers that knew Peter much, much better than we, and experienced Peter from the very beginning, and beginnings of the fair, really. Or actually, we have one fellow who may be calling in from Alaska who had a class from Peter 1971 before the Sogan Valley Art Fair or Craft Fair started. So, and he talks about the pots that he retains from Peter. He put everything in a pickup truck and moved to Alaska in 1974 with this huge load of clay, which he could only drive 30 miles an hour up to Alaska with all this stuff. And that included a bunch of pots from Peter that he had saved. Peter had thrown them out because they were not perfect. And he went back and grabbed them, and eventually they made their way all the way up to Alaska. So Peter's influence as a teacher was pretty big. And as I understand it, he also founded helped found the Northern Clay Center, too. So very interesting guy.
Yeah, that's an amazing. And it Cannon Falls is now where it is hosted, which is right on the edge of the Sogan Valley. And Art.org is this. What year is this? The third time that you've hosted?
Mm-hmm. It's been the fourth calendar year, but the third time we've hosted. We canceled last year.
Right, and so you're kind of making some transitions, so it's kind of fun. As you said, this is a 49th year, so you're looking back to kind of, you know, remember where the, you know, all the roots are, and I think that there's something really special about the feeling from this particular art fair that just it exudes from. Yeah, there's, you know, the relationships with the people that are there, yeah. The wonderful smells, the season. I there's something that the chemistry and everything just feels so perfect.
Yeah, a lot of artists that have known each other for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that comes through as a person just visiting and being around it, and mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm sure you're trying to figure out what can you do to recreate that, and also but then look ahead.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it was a very high bar initially because people really loved the Sogan Valley Art Fair for a long time. It was very successfully at the Edgewood Restaurant right on Highway 52 for a while, or what used to be called the Edgewood Restaurant.
A lot of folks will remember that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then moved to the Macarius Farm right in Sogan Valley, and that was such a nice bucolic, verdant location, you know, really amazing place. So we have tried to do our best. We're still, I think, trying to improve things and make make that high bar, you know, try to touch that high bar of camaraderie and people getting together, and a really pleasant fair for people who come, but also obviously also the artists too.
Right. So, yeah. Well, let's spend a few minutes then while we're waiting. Folks, this is probably the most zany thing we've ever tried to do on Art Zany Radio. So we're going to just keep fingers crossed and patience. We're trying to connect up some phone lines to bring in some of these guests, but maybe in the meantime we can visit with you about what's happening this year at the festival. There'll be a great, I think that one of the things that makes it wonderful is the combination of artists and food and, farmers. So it's a good mix, and that continues.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have a great group of artists this year, kind of a smaller nucleus. Some people had some technical issues with kiln problems, and
I think that happens probably at every art fair. Something happens where, you know.
Yeah, I know. So they kind of ran out of inventory, and also people, some fairs from the spring got pushed into the late summer and early fall, so people sold out.
Oh.
That's a good problem, I guess, right. for people to have.
I've been to a couple fairs, and both of them that I've been to, the artists have said people are just hungry for being.
Yes.
With other people and, you know, enjoying art and mm-hmm. are, you know, really enthusiastic.
Yes,
One of the things we try to do, too, is we integrate in, like, farmer's market vendors, you know, honey, coffee.
Mm.
And Scott's going to be painting?
Yeah, we have some. Well, I was going to say, though, the farmer's market people, we actually, that's a half-price booth fee for those types of vendors. And the artists pay the full amount, and then we do have some experiential kind of things too. Our friend Scott West is he's a great artist and arts, I guess you'd call, manager up in the cities at a big place, and he also live paints for a band called Cloud Cult.
Oh yeah, that's because he was on the show. This folks, if you remember, it was maybe 2019 when you were here, and he was on the air with us talking about that process of, you know, responding to the music and being on the stage and the pressures of, you know, creating something in that very, mm-hmm. you know, limited time frame. And so at the fair in 2019, he was live painting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this year he's said to us that he's going to take the 2 days of painting, and he's going to actually be doing a painting of Peter Leitch, perhaps. So if we're successful in patching him through, we can ask him that directly here a little bit later.
But. Yeah, at least tying something in with his legacy, and what I'm gathering from the poster you've shown me is he was quite a character, and so...
Exactly.
Right.
There's a lot of good stories, and another thing that I wanted to point out to listeners, if they're interested, is the website for the Sogan Valley Art Fair has a really great history section that has mm-hmm. some of the old scrapbooks, if you will, uploaded, and so that you can flip through and look at the artists from
25 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
One of the years, I think it was 2 years ago, the fellow who hosted at the Edgewood, I think it was Don Hernke, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that or misremembering that, but he presented us with this scrapbook that Peter and the group made for him in thanks for hosting it. And it was a complete scrapbook of the 25, you know, at the 25-year mark. We're now almost at 50. But it's a good kind of snapshot to see all the older artists. And that's all online in a kind of a PDF viewer document, so you can flip through that, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did, and I really enjoyed looking at the some of them had, you know, put snapshots of themselves or their artwork in, and many of them drew things, which mm-hmm. I was really impressed with their artistic skills.
And you know, they had a dinner every Saturday night, I think, of those fairs, and there was a big dinner, and Peter would speak, and he would do a kind of a comedy bit. He would call himself Carwax, which I guess is playing off Karnak,
Johnny
Carson's
gotcha.
Karnak thing. And he used to wear this this wonderful hat with a mushroom that one of the artists had made for him. It was pretty cool. We actually have a photo of Marty Harris wearing that mushroom hat. It's kind of cool. We'll mm-hmm. give that to people if they want to see it. So, but very interesting
Do you two have any stories from when you visited the Sogan Valley Art Fair or memories?
We were so young.
Well, sure, of course, when it started, all of us were just babes.
Exactly. But it's, you know, like your memory of it as well. I think the way that you described it was wonderful. And I think also when Peter had it on his farm, he would go up and pick up visitors and bring them down on a wagon to the farm.
Oh, fun!
Yeah.
So we got like a little hayride.
Exactly. Include it. So we don't do that at our location, of course, but...
Yeah.
But that made it charming, very charming.
And that is, I think, one of the things that people like to do, and it puts them in a good mood for, you know, ultimately the goal is for artists to, you know, sell and share their stories and to, you know, bring their works of art into the world.
Yep, exactly.
And it's just the perfect setting. So
yeah.
Dave's going to go check for us and see... what's going on, because we are waiting to, as I mentioned, connect up some folks who can tell us some stories of Peter. But I want to remind our listeners, we're here talking about the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and that is Saturday the 2nd from 10 to 5, and then Sunday the 3rd from 10 to 4. So please join them. It is really glorious. And in fact, just the drive down is sometimes well worth the trip.
Drive.
And again, this is the 49th year of the fair, and it is dedicated this year to Peter Leach, who is the founder of the Sogan Valley Art Fair. You can get those details, Sogan Valley, S-O-G-N, I should say, for people that aren't familiar with it, SoganValleyArtFair.com. And that is going to be hosted by ArtOrg, which is the organization that both of you founded and have been a part of for many years. Yes. That's coming up on some anniversaries. It must, too.
And, you know, I think we have Gary Crawford on the line.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay, we are here. Gary, good morning, and welcome to Art Zany Radio. You are live with us in the studio on air.
All right.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. We've been sharing some stories about the Sogan Valley Art Fair and wondered if, you know, as you think back today and look out where you are, what are some of the things that come to mind about being a part of the Sogan Valley Art Fair?
Well, the locals call it Song, not Sogan. But we called it Sogan because we couldn't pronounce the other word.
Oh, say that again, because that's not something I've heard.
Yeah, well, you know, the word is S-O-G-N, and the locals, farmers that I talked to and showed them that, you know, brochure we had on it, they pronounce it Song.
Oh, so that's probably the true way.
That was the Norwegian pronouncement.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of Norwegian farmers around there.
It's a beautiful area, and I understand that you participated for many years with your clay work. Tell us some of the things that you think of when you think of the art fair and being in those beautiful places and with all those great artists in the community.
Well, yes, it was a very kind of high-spirited occasion, and... a lot of it, of course, had to do with Peter and the different kind of people that he seemed to represent. He wasn't always Peter Leach. Sometimes he was, you know, kind of play acting, and you never really knew what to expect from him because he was kind of he was so interested in other people. And he loved to entertain.
We've gotten that impression that he did some kind of silly things at the dinners that took place on Saturday nights. Do you remember any good stories?
Oh, let's see. You know, I've gotten a little old in my memories. Not what it used to be.
Oh, that is understandable. I bet you have some clay pieces around that maybe you can tell us a little bit about your work or Peter's work. And I understand, too, that both of you were intricate, in developing the Northern Clay Center, and that is a place that many people recognize.
Yeah, that's right. It was Peter. It was probably Peter's idea. he was the idea person, and there were some of us, including me, that loved to kind of give birth to a long life for his ideas. And the Silicon Valley Craft Fair was one of those ideas. I helped him establish that because I had been a lawyer, and I created a nonprofit entity that people could contribute to and deduct their contribution. He loved that combination of being able to call on this lawyer to accomplish things that needed to be accomplished for his.
You could be
his ideas.
You could be the reason and the probably taming down some of the ideas to more easy things that could actually be done.
Yes, exactly. And even the Silicon Valley Craft Fair, I actually had that at my farm. We had farms that the farmers would call 1 mile apart as the bird flies. They were both of those farms were near Cannon Falls, and that's really how I met Peter. It was in 1972 when I met him, and his farm was near my farm, as the farmer said, as the crow flies, and 1 mile. But anyway, I learned that he was over there on this farm near Cannon Falls with his family, and he was making pots. And I thought that was an interesting thing. I had temporarily left my law practice to kind of play around being an artist. And so I went over and I talked to Peter, and the next thing I know, he's got me sitting down centering a piece of clay.
And had you been working with clay?
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to learn how to make it roll smoothly through your hands. It was called centering. And then he taught me how to throw the pot, and he taught me how to glaze pots, and he taught me how to fire the kiln and and all of that. And he just did that because he liked it was just his generous nature. It was just part of being Peter Leach that he did all those things with me. You know, made it possible for me to become a potter. And that was in 1972
when I met him. Yeah, and so something clicked with you too, because that became your legacy as well.
Yes.
What did you love about making pots and being a part of the Sogan Valley Art Fair?
I was a part of it in the sense that I, you know, created the organization that it operated within, so we could have contributions that would be deductible. That was a fairly smart thing to do, and it made a difference. And having people contribute money to help us keep that thing going for, what do you say now? It's something like 50 years.
40. This is the 49th year, so it's we're approaching that big marker. You're right. Amazing, isn't it?
It has been very. It's been a wonderful thing for the people that come and look, because the work has been done by so many different excellent artists, and if, you know, it isn't all pottery either.
No, right. And we've been talking about that before you came on the air. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking to Gary Crawford, who is also one of the originals of the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and also one of the folks that helped establish the Northern Clay Center. So
the Northern Clay Center was Peter's idea. and given my background as having been a lawyer, I created that organization. And the original board of directors included Joan Mondale and Peter and me and a banker. What's his name?
Boss, Andy Boss.
Andy Boss, yeah.
Wow, and, what a group.
Yeah, and Joan helped to select the first location, and Andy made it possible for us to rent that location. And so that's kind of how Northern Clay Center got started. But again, Peter's idea.
When I say the name Peter Leach, what comes to mind, or what? How would you describe him to somebody who didn't know him?
Intriguing, fascinating, and extremely interested in you when he's talking to you. He's, you'd think that with everything that he did, that he was self-centered, but he was not.
He sounded like he had a zest for life, right?
Yeah, he was interested in the people, and that kind of was his gift. He was sort of always kind of giving himself, and he did it without thinking about it. It was just his nature. He was just a very generous person by nature. Look at all those things that he did for me. He taught me how to be a potter, bing, just like that. And he helped me build my first kiln, and he taught me how to fire it.
What a legacy, and what a cherished friend.
Yeah, he was such a big part of life in that part, in those parts near, he had this farm near Cannon Falls, and I had a farm near Cannon Falls, and our families lived on those farms, and that's how we got acquainted, and we just spent a lot of time with each other in those days. His wife and my wife became good friends, and our children became good friends.
You certainly helped create that essence of what is this wonderful celebration of arts and community and the fall as well. And so it's been such a pleasure to be able to spend a few minutes talking with you and getting to know your story and sharing. Are there any last memories that you have that before we move on to our next caller that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, the memories that I want to talk about?
Yeah, before we close, is there anything else that we need to, that you want to share with us?
Peter was a very large man. And that coincided with his personality. That's what you would expect from him once you, it didn't take any time at all to get that he was a large person with a large personality and a big heart. He knew how to love, and he knew how to give, and that's what you experienced around him.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories, and I think that legacy continues. Gary Crawford has been our guest celebrating the founding of the Sogan Valley Art Fair. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Really.
Wonderful.
Total pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Folks, we are here going to work our way to the next guest, but what a delight. Thank you for bringing that forward and helping us to make that connection, Dave. That was something incredible. He had a lot of good memories, and he's really something amazing has happened in Minnesota because of those two gentlemen.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, Gary was having some kiln problems too, so he will probably be there. I think over the weekend, but I'm not sure exactly when. But he's not exhibiting this year. But
yeah, so that's good news. And then next, we're going to be talking, fingers crossed, with Charlie Overby. Can you tell us a little bit about Charlie? Was the one who took the clay up to Alaska in his pickup truck?
Yes, and I think we have him on the line now, so he's ready to go. Originally from Kenyon, Minnesota, but left after taking a class with Peter in 1971.
Welcome, Charlie. This is Charlie Overby. Yeah. This is Paula Granquist, and you're live on the air on Art Zany Radio. Thank you so much for getting up early.
Yeah.
It was our pleasure. We've been visiting all morning to sharing stories of Peter Leach and the history of the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and wanted to have you join our conversation and tell us a little bit about the things that you remember about Peter Leach.
Well, it's been 50 years. yeah, I first met him. My mother read an ad in the Fairbolt paper that he's at the community school. He's doing a night class of $25. So, okay, I'll give it a shot. I went to Minneapolis School of Art and went there for a few years, and then I didn't graduate or anything, but I came down, moved down to the country, and so I took this class, and man, I really liked it, and had a kick wheel there. I just learned how to make pots on the kick wheel. Got to know Peter pretty good, real good, and after the class, he said, "Well, why don't you come out to my Sogan farm and do some more pottery?" So, yeah, I went out there and turned it into an apprenticeship. I was out there for off and on between 1971 and 74, and he taught me how to do everything. I was so gracious with all his secrets. I couldn't believe it. He take some kid, 21-year-old kid, and tell him everything he knew about pots, and help me build a kiln, and in exchange for helping around the farm, it didn't cost me anything. He just helped me do all these projects. He's always doing projects all the time. helped him fix up that barn of his into a studio, and he built this walk-in kiln. I couldn't believe how big the thing was. Helped him on that a little bit, and I used to do the labor work around the farm. I remember digging around the back of the barn there, cleaning up, doing some project. Here's this pile of discarded pottery. Man, look at this. I scrounged through this. I got a mustache cup. I still have it. It just had a little hairline crack in the mustache part, and
you have
and
to...
then I found a casserole, and it had a little hairline crack along the lip of it, of the casserole. I still have it.
I have to stop you, because you have to tell me, what is a mustache cup? I'm not sure I know what that is.
Well, yeah, it's a regular coffee cup, and then it's got a kind of a shield in there, the shape of a mustache. So if you got a big old mustache, it sip through this this hole underneath it, and get your mustache from getting all wet.
I've never heard that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I still use that design on some of my mugs. put that little mustache thing in there. It looks just like a mustache, basically, only it's flat. yeah, people really like it. I still make pots today. I've been making off and on for 50 years. And when I was down in Minnesota, I was more into it a lot more. I did it full-time. I should be talking about Peter instead of me, but...
That's okay. We want to hear your story, too, because you...
Peter influenced me a lot, because, yeah, he helped me build a kiln, and I got the kiln all in my own, on my farm. I rented a farm south of Kenyon, and... I would just fire that thing up. It'll work. And so, okay, I didn't know nothing about firing. And he coached me through that, and finally I got that reduction firing technique down. Nobody does that hardly anymore. And that's what makes my pots unique to anybody else in Alaska here, because I don't know anybody that does reduction firing. Everybody's got the electric kilns, and you can kick the pottery out a lot faster than those, but... Everybody likes, I got this lady in Anchorage that every time I got a little store in Palmer that I sell my stuff, and every time I bring some pinch, the lady at the store calls this lady up, "Oh, come on in, I got new pots." And So she comes in and buys my stuff, and so it works great. So I don't make pots all the time, though, like Peter did. I couldn't believe all the volume he made.
Yeah, can you tell us a little, if you were to describe his style or what made his pots so incredibly special, what would you say that quality was?
Well, I like the functionality of everything. His mugs, I still copy his mugs. He's got that lip on all his mugs, his finger lip, and it just makes the mug, when you put it up to your lips, it fits your lips so well.
Hmm. Is that an indent or something? Or?
Yeah, a little indent, lip on a little, you know, it's not just a cylinder. Sure, first I make my cylinder, and then I take your, spend a lot of time making that top lip. It's just a little curvy indent. You'd see it on all his mugs, or most of them. I haven't seen any of his stuff for a long time, you know, because, you know, been up in Alaska like that. But I remember back in the day, he had a pottery sale at Edgewood Cafe. I don't know, on Highway
52?
Yeah.
Good memory.
I couldn't believe it. I bought some pots there. I wish I'd had lots of money because I would have bought a lot more. I couldn't believe it. He had a mailing list, and he'd make all these pots and send out a mailing list and had a pottery sale outside, and all these people would show up, and everything was gone right now. I bought some stuff there back in, 73, I suppose. But, that was pretty, he was a real special guy. I even see in that picture there of his obituaries, he's still got that glint in his eye.
That
the look of him, his, you know, very piercing and aware or whatever.
I think that we've heard that from folks, that there was something really incredible about his spirit and the way that he helped to bring that out in other people as well. What do you remember about the Sogan Valley Art Fair? Did you have a chance to be a part of some of those events, and what comes to mind when you think of the Sogan Valley?
The only thing I had was at Edgewood art sale, that's it, and I was gone. I don't remember much after that. I mean, we might have had a pottery sale at his farm once, I think, or else it was a birthday party, because I played music with a bunch of friends, and later we became the Open Road String Band. I remember playing there for something, some event. But I sure was impressed at how he led all these people, taught all these people how to make pots and helped them along. I thought, man, you're going to make all this competition. But not really. We couldn't even hold a candle.
He had something magic, huh? Something incredible that he was able to bring out in people, and it sounds like the clay as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And his glazes. Yeah. The way they react to reduction firing, and they're pretty simple glazes too. I'd like to learn some more, get some more new glazes. But I'm happy with what I got here. And basically, I do a lot of other stuff all summer, and then when winter starts, like now, it's so dark all the time. That's when I make my pottery, from October to March, and then the rest of the year I do other stuff. So, it's quite a fella. Another thing I liked about him was going morel mushroom hunting. I never knew anything about morels till I met Peter, and that was a lot of fun, going to the back of his farm up there. He had all these secret spots. He wouldn't tell people where you were. You had to find them yourself. But
yeah, they are protective of those spots, because they are elusive a bit and delicious, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad he spent his time teaching us novices how to make pottery at the community schools project. project. I don't know. That might have been the first and the last class he did because we were so bad. but I'm really glad he let me in.
I think he, it sounds like, I did not know him, but it sounds like he probably would have had patience and certainly the spirit of generosity, and that's an amazing thing.
Oh, another thing I just thought of, too, that school, the pottery, later on, my kids were living in Minneapolis. That was like 15 years ago, and I found out he had that clay center on Franklin Avenue.
The Northern Clay Center, yeah?
Yeah. So, I learned how to make pots from this guy. You ought to go down. So my daughters both signed up for a class for a winter semester when they were there. So they made some stuff at that place.
So your daughter, oh, that's an amazing circle then. Your daughters were learning at the place that he founded.
Yeah, and they come down, make pots too at my place in the winter. They're all living right close to me up here in Alaska, so.
Well, I love how his connections have taken us to so many different, you know, parts of the world. And I imagine his pots live all over the world. And it's just been such a pleasure to hear your stories of the great founder, Peter Leach, of the Sogan Valley Art Fair. We are, as I mentioned, folks, this is Charlie Overby. He is from the, originally from Minnesota, but is now living in Alaska and is sharing some of the stories with us about his memories of Peter. And it's been a lot of years and we still continue to have the Sogan Valley Art Fair. It's in its 49th year this year. And we are just thrilled to hear, and especially for those of you thinking about it, it's probably really early, just barely dawn there in Alaska. So it's
not quite, but you mentioned 49 years. Well, maybe that sale at Edgewood was the first one.
I don't know if that would have been. Let me turn up the mic for Dave here.
It could have been. I think I've seen a poster. Nan Leach had a kind of a repository of old ephemera, and we saw a poster of the second year, 1972 or 1973, I think that was still on the farm. So I'm not sure about the Edgewood sale if that was the first one or not.
But I know that.
Well, maybe the farm was the first one, and then the Edgewood one was the second one. That makes more sense.
Well, yeah, he loved to, it sounds like, be able to share his pottery, and people love to be a part of it. So anything else that comes to your mind that you want to share with us about either the Sogan Valley or Peter Leach or any of your clay stories? It's wonderful to have you share this with us.
Well, nothing comes to mind right now. It's just place in Sogan was real inspiring, and I wanted to move to Sogan and be closer, but I couldn't find a place to rent. I was out there in Kenyon, but yeah, Crawford's. Weren't you up there, Gary? Wasn't your farm up on the top of the hill there? It had a really nice view to the northwest. Was that your place?
Well, we're talking. Gary was on with us a little bit earlier, so he's not able to join us. At live, we can only do the one at a time. But yeah, he said he lived right near Peter. So
yeah, that must have been him. Yeah.
Well,
that was really good. Thank you for this time.
You're very welcome. It's such a thrill, and I sure appreciate your time and memories. And hope that you'll come back to this part of the world sometime soon.
Yeah, I come back twice a year. My mother lives on the farm and. Kenyon. She's still 95 and still living on the farm. And
bravo.
Taking care of the place by herself. It's pretty amazing. I go back twice a year to help her get ready for winter and get ready for summer and get her garden in. And she still burns firewood, too.
That's an amazing.
The house nice and toasty, you know, so I keep firewood handy for her. And, that's what I do.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing, and we're thrilled to hear the story that your mom's doing so well. So come share some more stories some other time. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that was Charlie Overby, folks, and we have quite the I think next, are we going to go tell us who we're going to?
Ben Leach is, we're hooking Ben Leach up right now, which is, of course, Gary's son. Peter's son.
Yes.
Gary's son. No, in my mind, I said Charlie's son, and they said, no, it's not part Charlie. It's
well,
and then, no, so I was all goofed up there. Yeah, well, Peter's son.
Thank you so much. Go ahead. Ben, you are joining Art Zany Radio here live in the studio. I'm Paula Granquist, and I thank you so much for being available to us to share some stories. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hello.
We've been talking all morning about all of the things that your father did to just inspire people and to, you know, his beautiful pottery. And I wondered if you could join us in sharing some of those memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Even as a young kid growing up in Sogan Valley, have a lot of memories of the craft fair and just all the artists and, you know, being a kid sort of helping with setup and just, you know, the whole process of putting on the craft fair, which was a pretty big to-do for Sogan Valley.
Yes, and every year there were, I mean, people looked forward to it. And, you know, tell me a little about your father's pottery. How would you describe it to people?
Well, he always kind of described it as functional stoneware. It was meant to be used, you know. It was, you know, appealing to the eye, but Dad didn't necessarily want it to just sit on the shelf. He wanted people to use it, you know. So, you know, that coffee cup that you held and had your coffee in every morning, you know, and to make that kind of connection with people, you know, I think, you know, he definitely kind of considered himself an artist, but it wasn't meant to be art that just sat on a shelf, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it does. And that sounds, I will never forget Charlie Overby shared some stories and talked to us about the mustache cup that he still has, so, which amazed me, a cup that you could sit your mustache in so it didn't get coffee on it.
Yeah.
That sounds like that he was quite a character too. People told stories about some of his antics and passions, everything from mushroom hunting to telling stories wearing silly hats. And you know, was that someone that he was at home as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the mustache cup makes me think of, I don't know if this was the most popular thing Dad ever did, but he had these frog cups. So there was a cup literally with a little frog in the bottom of it, and people just loved them. You know?
Oh, I have heard of those, but I don't know that I've ever seen one. So it was like just, so when you finished your drink, it was down on the bottom, right?
Yeah. A little frog looking up at you from the bottom of the cup, and it really kind of took on a life of its own. And I just remember, you know, he practically had one of his students or something. That was their full-time gig, was making these little frogs, you know, and he'd raised with these armies of little frogs kind of strewn about the studio. And there is a lot of them out there, I guarantee you, just based on the number of frogs I remember seeing.
That is a great memory. Do you have a favorite piece of your father's that you have?
I kind of have, he described it to me as the ceramic hope chest. So I do have some that I use. I definitely have some that's kind of tucked away that, you know, that you just want to have, that you want to save. So, you know, kind of hard to narrow it down to one favorite piece, but I definitely have a fair amount of my dad's pottery that I have, that I use, and some that, you know, is just sort of tucked away as the ceramic hope chest.
Yeah, well, I would think, and that, isn't that an, a great thing to think about, that, you know, some of this was made decades ago, and it is a part of everyday life, and that would have been something he, I think, would have been very pleased with.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's happy that, I mean, he was a potter for a long, long time, and, you know, there's a lot of his work out there, and, you know, people love it. People use it every day to this day, so. And it pops up in the strangest places, you know, at Goodwill randomly, or
on Craigslist,
or, you know, it's still out there. It's collectible. There's people who still are seeking more Peter Leitch pottery, so.
How would people know that if they are at a Goodwill, let's say, and they find a piece of pottery? I mean, what would be the mark? Did he have a signature?
He absolutely did. It was on the bottom of almost all his pieces. There was a little P with an L, kind of a combination Peter Leitch P with a L at the bottom. So you would know it. If you found a Peter Leitch piece.
What a find that would be.
Yeah, definitely.
And is there any things when you think of the art fair that come to mind about being with some of the artists or the farmers or the places that the Sogan Valley Art Fair has been held over the years?
Well, just, you know, the camaraderie and kind of the coming together as a community and, you know, getting there early and, you know, saying that, you know, because I grew up around all these people. So, you know, they became, you know, lifelong friends. A lot of the people who I knew from the craft fair knew me when I was, you know, a 5-year-old kid. So that's been 50 years now. So, you know, artists and people going to display their art turned into lifelong friends. And, you know, there's artists who just, you know, love that craft fair for the, you know, the feeling of community. And, you know, there's a lot of them who've been doing it forever, it seems like. You know, they wouldn't miss the Sogan Valley craft fair.
Yeah, and as someone who is just a recent... given the fact that it's a 49-year-old fair, I feel that as someone who visits the fair, and that tradition continues, and that, I think you said it beautifully, just that sense of community and the generosity of your father and his spirit that kind of exuded and he shared with everybody in teaching or helping or inventing or just having fun. I think that that's an incredible legacy, and it's really been my honor to be able to spend this time hearing your stories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you just said it so well. That's it right there.
Yeah, we could all use a little more of that in our lives as we move forward. And so that's something to keep in mind as all of us are thinking about making art happen. So, Ben, it's just been a pleasure. I'm sorry that our time is winding down, and there's the...
Great chatting with you.
It's been delightful. Ben Leitch joining us to talk about his father, the founder of the Sogan Valley Art Fair. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Take care. Yeah. So, folks, this has been quite the trip, I would say. Dave Mahacik, Kara Alberg here. Thank you so much for joining me. Any closing thoughts that you want to tell people? Of course, come to the Sogan Valley Art Fair this weekend.
Well, we're going to have to cut an appearance by Scott West for time. So,
thank you to Scott.
Thanks to Scott.
He will be at the fair, so folks can come and visit with him and his.
He's going to be live painting Scott in just real quick. He's going to be live painting the entire weekend, and I think. with imagery inspired by Peter. So should be fun.
That would be incredible. And I do enjoy this fair, so we'll probably see you there. And just what a great thing to think about all those traditions and connections that have been made that continue forward. And we'll next year be talking about what's coming for the next 50 years. We're going to do some predictions, right?
Absolutely.
It's such a big round number. Yeah, we're saying we have an opportunity to kind of reconfigure the fair, I think, for the next half century.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see if we'll keep the recording and see if any of that comes true.
Exactly.
And then somebody 50 years from now will be sitting in the studio talking about what we said.
That would be fun.
That would be a blast.
Well, you know, we actually have, as a part of our restoration of our building, we're putting in some time capsules. We're giving time capsules to artists. So actually, there will be an opportunity in 50 years to evaluate things. So that'll happen next year. I think the time capsules will be closed up on 2/22/22 and opened on 7/7/77. So there's a little bit over 50 years.
Whoa.
So we'll have to make a special Sogan Valley thing.
I think so.
Or maybe an Art Zany with all the content from Art Zany on zip drives or something.
That's a lot. We're only 15 years, but or maybe it's 16. I lose track, too. Well, thank you so much, folks. This has really been a pleasure. Thanks for hanging with us as we did, as I said, one of the most zany things we've done, having all of those phone guests. But I think it worked out okay. And thanks for hanging with us. And I hope that you take some time over this weekend to visit the art fair, and then also take some time to, of course, enjoy your imagination and always add some art zany to your life. In the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
Is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-887.